CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business. CityTalk 105.9.
Good morning and welcome to CityTalk's business with Frank McKenna on CityTalk 105.9. And of course, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that I'm not Frank McKenna. I'm Roger Jonas, the events manager for Downtown Liverpool in Business, regarded as the most influential business membership organisation in the Northwest. I'll be standing in for Frank this morning, as he's got a touch of I can't get out of bed syndrome. Morning, Frank. Right. Let me welcome my three distinguished guests this morning, in no particular order, but ladies first, of course, from Agent Marketing, the lovely Jane Moore.
Morning.
Jane is joined by Andrew Dwerryhouse, who's the MD of Wild Thang.
Morning, great to be here.
And last but not least, Mr. Gavin Sherratt from It's About Websites and Your Business E-Zine.
Morning, Roger.
Is that my business E-Zine?
Your business E-Zine.
My business E-Zine.
It's your E-Zine, or it's your business E-Zine.
Okay, I just wanted to get that.
Everybody's
business E-Zine. Yeah. Right. Welcome to you three, and welcome to our listeners this morning. It's going to be quite a challenging morning for our guests this morning because they really don't know what questions I'm going to ask. No preparation.
Nothing
here.
New there, then.
But
Roger,
they're all experts in their field, apparently. We'll find out by the end of the programme. This morning, it's all about brand and branding. If you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, then I guess you're going to recognise a lot of what we talk about this morning as being very significant and relevant to the profile of your business and the growth of your business. Branding is very key, I reckon, to the recognition of what a business stands for. I mean, let's take, you know, if I say to you the letter M, if we can have in unison, the letter M stands for
McDonald's,
of course.
Yeah, it has to be.
Of course. And you know, I reckon it's one of the most recognised brands visually, along with the other one, which you don't even need to read it when you read the name of the company. Obviously, Coca-Cola. You recognise it through, I guess, the font. I'm going to come to you first, Gavin. Websites, a great window for the world in terms of your business. Even the smallest company can look big. But in terms of branding and the visual side of a website, how significant is visual branding?
Our visual brand is really key because it's part of the thing that people relate to. So when you actually go to a website, obviously most companies have a logo. It's not necessarily a brand, and it's that kind of thing of their communication is building that brand, and the website now is the first point of call. People don't go to the yellow pages anymore. They go to search engines and they land on your website, and you've got to kind of build your story. Your brand is actually kind of how you're communicating out. And from that, people recognise what you do from your brand, from your name. We found that with our business, of all of a sudden people have just been there as like kind of, oh, I saw the IAW, it's like, but we know what you do. And saying we do more than websites, but because we've kind of spent a lot of time putting our logo in front of people, we've actually kind of built a brand around it. People
it becomes
kind of
iconic.
It becomes iconic, and it's that kind of thing. It's like it's instant recognisable, and you kind of know, as you mentioned, McDonald's. Last Sunday, I was travelling in the car and we were hungry and we saw the giant M and we were like, do we have to? Yes, we do. But we knew what we were going to get.
We
went into a brand. We knew the experience we were going to get. We knew how they were going to communicate to us. And it delivered what it did.
I guess that, you know, in terms of branding, there can be polar opposites, though. There are those that are enormously successful, that are globally recognised. But then, you know, on the other hand, you've got the kind of small business, the entrepreneur, who is I guess, striving to get his brand recognised.
Yeah, I think it's like part of theirs, saying it's about their communication. I think it's like, it's not just about websites and stuff. It's like kind of when they go out face to face, when they talk to people.
There are different degrees, tiers, and levels of branding success.
It's almost a brand habitat you create, and it's very much agreeing with what Gavin's saying. It's not just a logo or a sticker on something. It's a brand experience. If you go into
a
Martin's
brand
Spare,
experience.
If you have a brand experience, you expect a certain level of delivery. They're going to say service and
excellence, whatever you do.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, regardless of whatever size you are as a business, I think whether you're a micro business, small business, or a large PLC, it's all about striving to have the best image you can possibly have. And that's doing it across the board. Lots of different avenues of marketing, from the way your image is designed to the way the website is designed, but also to the way, you know, it's branded on a piece of paper or a flyer. lots of different avenues, or merchandise, or
and
a pen.
Very much going back to...
Go, get in there, Andrew.
Quick plug there. I think going back to what Gav was saying, though, it's very much about deciding what flavour of business you're going to be. What are your emotional values, and what's your brand values? What do you stand for as an organisation? And a lot of the work that, I suppose, we do is to look at that strategic positioning and say it's the brand comes at the end of all of that. Because the brand and the picture of what you create in the public eye that you create, the public face of your business, is a product of the values of the organisation.
Yeah, it's true. And it also comes back to kind of saying the values. We've actually kind of got work from people actually buying into us as people, and people actually see us as part of the brand. So we actually play on that with
you
our marketing.
Very much are.
That we are the product, we are the brand. It's like if you're coming to work with my company, you're working with me. Yeah. So we actually kind of put our face on it because we're a small organisation. We're not hiding behind the fact that we haven't got 20 or 30 staff. It's like you're dealing with the person and you build that relationship, and that actually builds the brand. It's like it's what people talk about. It's like just before I came here, I was tweeting stuff, and people from the outside were actually retweeting what I was doing because they trusted the information source. Because I was talking about an event that I'm talking at in November.
Yeah.
And they were like kind of within seconds, it's like kind of bang, out.
And we can endorse that, because the two ladies as we came up the lift today who were just leaving and who commented the fact that it wasn't the Saturdays he was going to be here today.
Because obviously charity ladies from the Cash for Kids.
They'd obviously been reading his tweets this morning.
You're just as important as the Saturdays anyway.
It is.
So you're better looking, actually.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That came from a conversation.
This is a business programme, not a dating agency. Can we just get...
Well, any female pop stars available at the moment. IAW Creative on Twitter.
I'd take out the pop star and just put any females, maybe is the shorter version.
You talked about... You mentioned the word trust there.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I'm behind any brand, there has to be a level of trust, because I think, as you say, you know, absolutely. Can a brand be created and developed and just, I guess, thrown out there and have instant trust, or is there a lot more behind it than?
I think there still has to be strategy behind it. Yeah. It's like you can't just throw a brand out there and it's going to be trusted straight away. But if you do that, you've got to have very deep pockets to be kind of that brand in front of everybody. You mentioned Coca-Cola earlier. When I'm talking to people about social media and kind of getting their branding out there and getting their faces out there, you've probably seen the Coca-Cola logo at least 10 times today and not even realised it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just part of your everyday kind of environment now.
I think, as you were saying, Gavin, I think it takes time. I think you've got to be careful that if it's a new brand or a new company, it isn't thrown out there. That a trust has to be developed, and a quality, whatever your business is, quality, what you're producing and delivering to the client, that takes time to get that message out there, you know, and that trust to develop. And as we said, how old is McDonald's now? How old are Coca-Cola? Many, many, many years old. So it's about developing that trust bit by bit, but it's all about the quality that you're delivering as well. But
bringing it back to the SME market, though, a little bit, that, you know, when you meet somebody who's looking to develop their brand from the ground floor, often businesses, when they get to about maybe 2 years old, will start to revisit their image and their brand positioning. Yeah. And it's very much then when you've got some trading history to look at. Business startups tend not to worry so much about that whole kind of the developing the business, getting out the ground, whereas a business usually about 2 years old starts to really reflect on the successes, evaluate the with strengths and weaknesses, and start to put together a bit more of a substantial brand positioning strategy.
And does that include, I guess, the visual look of the brand?
Absolutely.
But how important is that? Because, you know, you establish the icon, if you like, of the business downtown in business. I think we've stuck with the same font since day one, the same look since day one. And for us, that's very successful. People do recognise the DIB and the line.
They know what you do because you've spent your time building what you're doing.
Yeah. Like... But what I'm trying to get at, you know, you're talking about this two-year period where people start to question, where am I placed? How is my brand working for me? Is it wise at that stage to become more creative and think, well, I'm going to redesign my brand, I'm going to redesign the look of what people are reading when they look at my company name, or I'm going to stick with what I've got and hold my nerve and hope it works?
I think it depends on the organisation and the market that they're in. And very much the way that we would approach that is to look at where are they now, where have they been, and what does the market say they should be like? So you then have to do a bit of a benchmarking exercise to evaluate the competitors, evaluate the market opportunities. And find out where their target customers are and how they want to be communicated with and what their expectations are. Because that way you have a real measure on what they need to do.
That sounds very expensive.
And not necessarily. It depends.
That's a really good point, Jane. Definitely. Yeah. But my own personal opinion is that obviously every business is different, and every business has got its own personality. And obviously it's important that the actual image is correct, but it's got to also identify what your personality is as a business. I mean, your own personality, your own individuality, it's always got to be professional, but it can be completely different. Yeah. One firm might be called, you know, IT information, but another firm could be called something more extravagant, like Animal, for instance, as a clothing label. Could be in a similar way.
That actually built into all the brand values of that organisation, because those values are the personality and the flavour of the business.
Yeah, flavor.
So they can be as avant-garde and as out there or as conservative as that brand and that marketplace that they're in determines they should be.
Because that's the key. You're saying there are kind of no rules in some way.
It's about understanding the market and the target audiences. Yeah, that's the critical point.
Because it's like kind of one of the American clothes labels, they've actually paid some celebrities not to wear their products.
Fantastic.
But they've gone the way, I don't want you endorsing my products. But they've actually spun it around in a PR twist, and they've got loads of press. They've got broadsheet press. And
so have they got normal people there wearing their clothes?
They've got celebrities wearing, but there's a certain kind of celebrities that it's like, we don't want to be associated with you.
There's a brand that's moved into the Met Quarter in Jack Wills, and they don't do any PR, any communication about themselves. So when the Met Quarter wants to announce their arrival, they were like, well, no, we don't want you to put a PR message out about us.
We like to our clothes to do the talking.
Our clients will find us. And it's like, it's completely off track to what a normal brand launch you'd expect in the city. It's the first one in the UK. It's the first one in Liverpool, certainly. But I think those kind of things, you expect a PR machine to jump into action. And they were like, no, we don't do that.
But that's good, because they've been strong to their brand value, though, weren't they?
Thinking outside the box as well.
But I think there's a whole shift certainly celebrity endorsers. There's kind of so much celebrity endorsement out there, and it's become a little bit cynical. And people know that when a celebrity is being interviewed on TV or on the radio, that it's because they've got a book to plug or a product to sell. Or I remember seeing an interview with a B-list TV celeb who then at the bottom of it was sharing all of her heartache and her heartbreak, and she was supported by some toothpaste at the end of it, and that
Excellent.
Was her. She's brand ambassador for it. Why is that relevant to your heartbreak, you know?
Because is it Morgan Spurlock who did Super Size Me? He's just done another documentary film.
Yeah.
And he was like there, he was watching, I think he was watching Heroes, and then all of a sudden he spotted a product placement for a car, and it was all of a sudden the programme turned into an advert for that car, and he was like there, I'm not watching this programme anymore. And he looked back and he's like kind of, they've been putting these brands in front of me, and I've not noticed them.
Spotted it. Yeah.
And especially now,
they're very powerful at doing that.
Well, obviously, TV channels, it's an income stream, isn't it, for them as well?
Well,
so
that's
their business as well, and they've got to look at their bigger picture of how they're going to create income streams in the future, because obviously there isn't as much money in TV these days.
Well, there's a whole industry surrounding product placement. A friend of mine is a product placement expert who goes and delivers to set boxes of wine, chocolate, dog food, you name it, all the shops.
Send it round.
Great. He used to deliver stuff to me as well. It was fantastic.
I'll have a Ferrari, please.
Brand.
But, you know, obviously, since the change in the legislation with product placement and brand placement, the TV companies are taking control back on that, and Hollyoaks are the test for Channel 4.
Yeah.
And I know Sean Marley is actively seeking opportunities for them to product place. And it's a real experiment at the moment. It's a really exciting experiment for the TV companies. Mm. I suppose it's probably a little bit more honest for the consumer, because it's
flagged up in the beginning, isn't it? It's saying that this program is going to be...
I'm guessing there are going to be some really strict guidelines, though.
I'm sure.
I think there already are, aren't they?
There is age appropriate.
You can't overexpose a particular
brand. But I think
another
interesting development in brand marketing is that it's very much about the kind of age-appropriate marketing as well, which is quite current at the moment. And that's about how, within an area where children will be seen, how it's about sexualising children within marketing. And that's, I think, another big shift that we'll see. Not that many of our brands that we work with will be.
No, kids should be kids, we should all agree. You know.
And I think it's something that, it's more the big billboard campaigns where there's kind of Hello Boys and those kind of things outside of school. They're trying to moderate that. Bit of Mary Whitehouse sensibility coming back into the world.
But it does need that, doesn't it? It does need that kind of moral background to actually saying, actually, market to your target audience.
Absolutely.
Don't put it in front of the wrong person.
Well, somehow I knew that this morning when you three arrived that I was actually just going to have to say one word, and that was branding. And you guys were going to take over, which is great, by the way. It's great. It means I don't have to do very much, and very informative. So we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to continue this very three-sided conversation. I'll be throwing in some additional challenges as well.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Jane Moore from Agent Marketing, Andrew Dwerryhouse from Wild Thang, I love saying that, and Gavin Sherritt from It's About Websites and My Business Easing, or Your Business Easing, whichever is easier to say. Great stuff. Fantastic discussion before about branding. And as I said, I just let you go and did very little, to be honest. And I'm going to probably... That's right, yeah. I'm going to do the same now.
You're enthusiastic punch.
I'm going to ask you about your own businesses and I guess the significance of branding to you as individual entrepreneurs, managing directors, chief executives, however important the title is, I guess. Andrew, let's come to you first. Wild Thang. Great name. And again, a very, very recognisable logo.
Thank you, Roger.
Nice
compliment.
It is. It's a bit wild. It's a bit out there. And you see it in many, many different guises. And I guess that's because you produce merchandise that supports branding and that supports business promotion.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Wild Thang, first of all.
Well, I mean, obviously, as you said just a second ago, it covers many different areas. So if we think about anything that you need physically to market your company, that may be many things, from a staff uniform to a promotional item that you might want to give away to your customer, to give out a brand, and that's to a flyer as well. Anything that you can physically touch or feel, that's the kind of thing. Anything that you need to help market or promote your actual company, that's kind of what we do. You know, one of our terms is like, get your promotion in motion, you know, because it's all about motion, touchy feely.
Get your promotion in motion.
But as we're talking about, like, you know, kind of like,
I'm not laughing at that, by
the way. No, it's fine.
I think that's great. A bit cheesy, man.
The question you might raise is like, why Wild Thang? You know, why the name?
I tell you what, I've always been thinking, why Wild Thang, Andrew? I've always wanted to ask that question.
Well, if you listen to the song, you know, Wild Thang, you know, and you sing along to it, then that. That's the one. That's how it's spelled, you know. And you know, it stood us in good stead.
Yeah.
But I mean, initially, when we were thinking about many, many, many years ago, creating the actual brand, starting the actual company, I mean, we were looking through the Yellow Pages all them years ago when Yellow Pages were really, really important to everyone. We were looking through and saying, well, how can we stand out from the crowd? And I think that's the one thing that, like, within our area, slightly creative, you know, we're producing T-shirts and other things that other people need to produce themselves. So that was our determination. We're going to try and stand out from the crowd. And that's where the name came from. We came up with lots of different names, but that's the one that stood out.
And it does work, doesn't it?
Does it?
I mean, it does work.
I say it all genuinely. You see it everywhere. The brand is supported and is endorsed in so many different places, which means it's breaking through and it's memorable.
And dare to be different, you know, do something different from what else is out there, you know. And I think that goes to a degree with our brand. We've created a brand around the actual name that is different from anything else that you'll see out there. So when you see our name, you recognise hopefully our logo. You'll instantly recognise it as us. It can't be disassociated.
I think
with
that's absolutely right, because when I first of all became aware of the Wild Thang logo, I'm talking some years ago. You've been in business for quite some time, haven't you?
14 years.
Wow.
15 years, so, I mean, yeah, a long time. Three recessions. Hopefully only two.
Looking at your logo, it made me instantly think that this is a big company.
Yeah.
And it really did. There's another company, and I've got to be careful about endorsing things out, and I'm not endorsing this. I'm just going to... We're talking about branding and the look of a logo. Not that long ago, a couple of years ago, a dental clinician called Ollie and Darsh launched on Dale Street. As soon as I saw their logo, I actually thought that they were a big company that had come into the city of Liverpool. And they're just a sole trader, they're just a small business.
But they got their message right.
Yeah.
I did their launch campaign PR, so thank you.
You did a very good job there, just like to go. Brand, I think, goes against the grain again, what is dental practices should be.
Yeah.
And why should these be cornered into looking a certain way or being a certain way? And when you've got quite a crowded area, it's very important to step outside, try and be different.
And they launched with a position and strategy that was very key to be a boutique dentist. They want to be very much an opulent experience rather than something that we all dread to do. It's more of a lounge culture in there. It's an incredible space.
But even without knowing what the look of the business is, and that it is, you know, a contemporary design space, and it's not like your sterile dental clinic. Again, it's that visual thing.
No, it's very strong.
And what that evokes is this is a big chain of dental clinicians.
But what they've done as well, they've set a trend. A lot of their competitors have kind of tried to mimic what they're doing and up in their game, and all of a sudden you're seeing lots of dental practices actually branding themselves, actually changing their names to not just...
And you're attributing that to
I think it is
culture,
because
I guess, that
I think it is, it's that culture, it's like you're saying, but they've come in and had success.
I'd add to that as well that there's actually, the industry's changing dramatically for dentistry, and it's, as consumers, we're not going to the NHS dentist anymore.
They do it while you wait now.
And as consumers, we expect more. When we're paying privately, you expect an experience, a brand experience. And that's really where the target markets are shifting in terms of that sector. I've worked with a number of dentists, and the brand and strategy has been part for all of them. And it is about positioning and expectation and lowering risk, because in dentistry there's high risk because they're going in your mouth with a drill. You want to soften all that and make it a much more pleasurable experience.
I'm going to start a dentist called Thunderbirds then.
You've got a character from Thunderbirds here.
Let's move at Brains.
Thank you very much.
For those of you who've never met Gavin Sherritt, he is the stunt double for Brains out of Thunderbirds.
And where's Wally? Yeah, I've had that all.
Well, let's
significantly move on to Gavin Sherritt now, or Brains, as that's it now.
I've been known for Brains forever.
Mud sticks. Branding. You opened our show this morning. We're talking about the significance of website and branding. Talk about your own. Talk about
about websites. Yeah. It's funny because obviously we introduced our business at probably one of your events that we basically were working for other agencies, and we decided to set up a business. And we were just sitting in the office kind of thinking, how do we get people knowing who we are? And so we went against the grain. We were turning up at shirt and tie events, actually wearing branded T-shirts, going back to the old-fashioned kind of 80s stuff.
Like, why didn't we produce them?
Well, now you
can. No,
we'll get into
there.
An argument now. So you can talk about that later.
Can you do mate rates?
I remember your first attack of the market as being quite guerrilla, because you would come at people with such enthusiasm. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is that thing, but we came out of our own personalities. We were there wearing bright green, bright red T-shirts where everybody else was wearing black suits, shirt and ties. Yeah. And all of a sudden, people just started remembering us. And all of a sudden, we had people saying, every time they said the word, it's about, they thought about us.
Yeah.
No, in whatever context. It's like, oh, it's about, it's like, you've got into my head again. And they started thinking about, obviously, oh, you're the web guys. Yeah. But then we pigeonholed ourselves with our name. We're actually currently in having a bit of a dilemma in the office of, do we rebrand? We're in the process of merging with another...
Back to what Jane was talking about before.
We're in the process of merging with another company, which is going to actually kind of enhance our market position. And
It here first, listeners.
Yes, it's not full common knowledge yet, but it's going to enhance what we can do. And we've been doing lots about social media recently. So that's not just about websites, that's about communication. So we've been playing with the fact about IAW. What does it stand for? It used to stand for, it's about websites. All of a sudden, in my head, it's about interaction and attraction and working together at the moment.
Definitely. I think you made a great point, Jane, is that you've got to be careful you're not pigeonholed. I think when we were looking about originally what we were doing as a company, we could have called ourselves, you know, Andrew and Dave's T-shirt printers, but obviously instantly, as soon as we'll have done that, we are T-shirt printers. Yeah. Long term, going forward, as we added new products, scaling up the actual business. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we do such a variety of things, it's really a good job that we didn't call ourselves. That was put us in a certain
place. And I agree, that when you do a branding strategy, you test it and you kind of almost pressure test it for time and longevity as well, and that's all part of that.
Yeah. So because we're quite lucky, obviously, with our name. We played on the acronym of it from day one.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just know us as IAW.
Yeah.
So we were like, there's actually, do we keep that? The other company, Telenorth, who are coming in, haven't got a strong brand, but they're a really high skill set.
Yeah.
So we're the kind of the noisier company. We're the one that people recognise. Mm. When we actually spoke to one of the partners in the other company, they thought we were 20 strong.
That's a good thing.
They came into the office and was like, kind of, is it just you two? It's like, that's unbelievable. So
the power of the brand.
It's the power of the brand.
The power of the brand, definitely.
But, I mean, I remember you coming to some of our events in your tuxes and your trainers, which I thought was great. And you were right.
T-shirt,
you were in people's faces. And you know, this is us. This is what we do.
Yeah.
We actually thought you were on Class A, myself.
But there could be some legal actions here.
But that's significant, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because we got people remembering us all of a sudden. It's like, kind of, right, chose to wear those trainers because actually nobody else there is going to go against the rules.
You are definitely doing and something right if you
positioning
can,
as a creative agency.
If you can make people believe that you're a much better company, bigger company and better company than you really are. Because if you're a startup business and micro, you've always got to be kind of to a degree pretending that you're a bigger company. That's how you've got aspirations to grow,
It goes back to that lower risk and make it easy to buy. That's exactly what you guys did, and make it really easy to interact with you and engage with you. Mm-hmm. And that's what all brands strive to do.
Moving on, Jane. Agent marketing.
Well, we came together to create a great place to work. It was our primary goal, and I think we've achieved that in spades. Both Paul, Wayne and myself had come from very different backgrounds. I'd worked in magazines and in radio. Wayne had worked in charity third sector.
I hope not centrefold.
Absolutely not. I resemble that remark.
Depends on which Roger.
That's it. Just watch where you put the staples.
The mischievous one, Roger.
And also, Paul had come from business-to-business consultancy and marketing as a marketing master from JMU. And we'd come to the same point in our lives for very different reasons. I was coming on the back end of having cancer and not wanting to work for idiots anymore. And Wayne had kind of worked for a multi-franchise agency where he had been travelling too much and not really having a base and having a great place to be. And Paul had kind of been he developed a department within another agency and didn't feel valued and didn't feel appreciated. So when we came together, it was all about that strength of the three of us and our skills. And it still is, but there's now 10 of us. And the strength of our people is integral to the growth in the business. And we created Agent, and it was very much initially, and Paul will hate me for sharing this, Paul and I were going to be Team Fabulous. But then that went out the window when Wayne got up. And thank God the web address wasn't available. So we then said, well, what are we going to be? It's a vital agent to source people's marketing through. So we then looked at kind of Captain Scarlet as inspiration. And
awesome. I was there in the background. I was always there.
Absolutely. You're always there, brains. And our logo is very much about targeted marketing. So if you look in our logo, it's very much about having a target through the middle of the agent word. And then there are three icons underneath it, which stand for very different things. I'll let you know, you can decide yourself which one's the Captain Scarlet inspired one. But it's about the power of the three of us. And it still, as I say, moves forward now.
It sounds like superheroes. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Our initial...
Been in a meeting with them, they all morph together.
I know. Well, I am the wild thing. I suppose I could be a superhero sometime.
But no, at one point... there was a conversation when it was the Team Fabulous about Lycra outfits and all kinds of icons, but then that so went out the window when Wayne saw it.
Probably a good thing.
Thank
you,
God. Absolutely. Get your free pair of spandex superhero knickers when you come to work for agents.
Frank McKenna quite often comes into the office with his white fronts on the outside.
Well, that's a whole other story.
He got up the wrong side of
the bed. Have you got a photo of that, Roger?
No.
Yeah, that would be one to keep. But no, I think it is. It's about kind of understanding what you stand for and what you came together. And we were our own first client. Yeah. And we took ourselves through the strategic process and spent 3 months without any clients, without any money coming in.
You've just said something there. We were our own first client. And I just think many business people, that is the case. We were our own first client.
Well, you've got to understand the client journey.
Yeah, of course.
And that allowed us to benchmark the process.
Yeah.
And that process still exists. It evolved and it's expanded and it's diversified into something.
It's funny because I did a talk for John Moores University last week. And I was talking to their business students about this, about how your business evolves and your planning evolves, but you have to keep evolving it, keep documenting it, and keep looking back on yourself, because our business has changed drastically. I'm saying we got to the point where we were actually looking back on ourselves, actually kind of, are we going in the right direction? Are we speaking to the right people? And all of a sudden you're kind of like, actually, don't need to speak to that group of people anymore. That's not my market. That's not going to pay my bills.
Business is about evolution as well, and it's changing all the time, you know, constantly.
Yeah. But business is never going to stand still, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
I guess success is about the level at which you adapt, but also, I guess, the level at which you set aside time
absolutely
to focus on...
Finger on the pulse.
And that's why businesses like us exist, because actually the people don't have time to work on their brand and their brand extensions and their strategic positioning because actually they're busy doing the day job.
Yeah.
And I think also I'd add to that shift in the market at the moment, in terms of we're in a new economy and a new emerging economy at the moment, because, you know, we are teetering on the brink of a double dip. And I think the sustainability of the city will only come about by each of us being a little bit brave, a little bit entrepreneurial, and having the courage to believe in new markets that are out there.
Okay, right. Well, we could talk forever, but we're going to go to a break. Hold those thoughts, the many of them that we've had. Yeah, and we will be back straight after this.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back and welcome to Jane Moore, Andrew Dwerryhouse and, of course, Gavin Sherratt, who have made me feel somewhat redundant this morning because, as Jane said, you pull the cord and let them go. We're talking... Yeah, you see, I can't even get... Yeah.
I give up.
Jane, what's
morning.
Next on the...
Brilliant. We're talking branding. And you know, I mean, thank you for your advice because, you know, I feel a lot more, shall we say, fired up about the significance and the relevance of branding. Not that we're going to go back to downtown and change what we've done, because I think what we've achieved in terms of the way we look, we're satisfied with, and it really does work for us. And I guess it's about Frank holding his nerve and saying, you know, we started with this, we're going to stick with it, because actually there is significant evidence that this works
for us. That's important as well, yeah. I think, yeah, stick with it, even though people might say, well, I'm not keen on your brand, you know, you should listen.
But you've got measurable experience there, it's like, actually, it's working, we've got customers.
Definitely, I think if the majority is working, then
brand has evolved.
Yes, I think it
because
has.
Because you no longer have the ladies with the smoking guns at the side of Frank anymore, and I'm delighted to say that.
Never say never, Jane.
Do
you know what? We did the one thing that we did, which had more feedback from, because the picture, you may recognise it, there was... Chris, who was my assistant at the time, there's Frank in the middle with his tux and his dicky bow open, and me, and then two beautiful women at the
that
back.
That was a black and white.
It was a black and white.
Is this the one on
we
the
shot it down
tunnels?
At Moorfields.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's incredible.
And
we put it outside Victoria Station in Manchester.
Poster campaign.
Yeah, Moorfields here and. On the backs of the buses in Preston, and apparently it's still there. It was only a 3-month thing. We have had more feedback from that imagery than anything else we've ever done.
Well, I'd like to see it with Maggie O'Carroll in the background with her smoking gun. I'll be happy then.
Why Maggie O'Carroll?
I'll join her because she's a powerful lady.
Definitely, but I think that's a game with downtown Liverpool. It's about doing something differently. It isn't. It's going against the grain to a little bit degree,
totally,
which is good, you know. I mean, you push the boundaries a little bit, and that's what it's about, you know.
But
to
you
be able to stand out.
Evolved the brand and the brand values and. I think you've grown.
Yeah, it can get better.
Brilliant.
You've got to develop it as it goes along, you know.
But I think that's it. You know, I mean, you know, we've got pictures of Scarface and such like up on the... It doesn't mean we're a shower of gangsters, but it's that visual thing, that imagery.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have to look at my face to realise how I stand out in that picture as being someone who really shouldn't be there.
Great face for radio, Roger.
Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned that about your office. You didn't mention about the shark pool that was on the picture.
Now than more ever before. Brand and image is everything, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's got to portray your values and everything else, as we've discussed previously. But it's an image world that we live in. People like things that look nice.
And it can go massively wrong, then.
Oh, goodness.
Remember, was it Mr. Ratner?
Oh, get out my head.
Of course.
Very,
he's coming to the city soon.
Yeah. I think it's
talk about smoking
on Tuesday,
guns,
I think it is. I think
yeah,
it's Tuesday.
Yeah, I actually, one of my first ever jobs in Liverpool when I was about 17 was I was a Christmas temp for Ratner's. And for me at the time, it was quite a glamorous job. I was only a kid. And it was, you know, I was presenting jewellery beautifully with my false nails on. And it was a lifetime ago, thank God.
You said nails.
Yeah. And it was at the time when he came out and said that his products were a load of tat.
Yeah.
And
then hit the downward spiral.
Oh my God!
Ratner's
self
brand.
Implode. Hit the red button.
I think Gerald Ratner's in the city on Tuesday for the Medicash conference.
Yes.
And just a little plug for that, I guess, you know, if you go to downtown website, I think if it's still on there,
pretty certain there's a link
on,
yeah.
Some information on the Medicare.
But you know,
conference.
And I suppose he's obviously rebuilt. I don't quite know what he's doing anymore.
I think he was doing was he mail order jewellery as well. I think it was internet based jewellery.
Yeah,
now
so he actually kind of.
But I think he admitted his own mistakes. If you can do that, you can move on.
You learn from mistakes. Yeah. We all make mistakes.
But that was a big mistake.
Oh,
we don't want to make
self-implode.
That was pretty horrendous.
The shareholders freaked out on that one.
I mean, as well as a brand being a trademark and, you know, the significant brand name, it can also become it can stigmatize your brand.
It becomes a label, are you saying, because that adage isn't it? You can build your reputation up, but you can destroy it in seconds.
Yeah. It's very much like the same with BP, is one of the most internationally recognised logos and corporate brands, which obviously now is associated with the oil disaster.
Yeah, so if you're associated with a disaster, then it could be a devastating effect on your brand, and you've got to think, how am I going to rebrand?
Again,
maybe
there were certain things that the chief executive said. There were certain things he said about, well, I just want to move on and get things back. Well, they said, you know, the media got hold of it. And the media can play a massive part in the downfall of a brand, downfall of a company. You know, what about all the poor people who've lost their lives and you just want to move on? I don't think. And again, that was a significant, stupid thing to say.
Well, that's when reputation management and crisis management PR needs to roll in. And obviously, he hadn't had the appropriate.
He wasn't briefing
before. He didn't get the briefing, obviously.
Didn't get that memo.
I bet Max Clifford and the people like him love that kind of thing, though.
I think you were saying that the people behind your organisation are, again, so it's not just the face, but it's the people that work within your organisation. You've got to make sure they're all thinking in the right direction about your brand, about your philosophy, about the quality you're aspiring to deliver every single time.
Because we talk about that a lot of our clients, especially in the social media stuff, about like your staff or your biggest marketing tool on social media now. You don't want your staff saying, I've had a rubbish day at work.
Of course.
And it's that thing of like kind of having a policy in place of actually kind of, if you had a bad day in work, just don't say anything. Actually, go and speak to your boss or your supervisor.
People don't. I've got clients who have seen their staff make negative comments on social media. And then how do you handle that? You know, it is about making sure that there is a policy, and if they're going to be on
and everyone's
media,
aware of that,
everyone's
policy
aware of it,
and
actually learning how to defuse it as well.
Yeah,
I've actually also like kind of that member of staff. Well, also, they have an amazing day the following day.
Wasn't it famously a pizza company, was it Domino's or one of the pizza companies who on YouTube a member of staff uploaded a video of themselves doing not so much nice things behind the scenes of the pizzas. And actually it went
up
on social media.
The danger of social media,
and it went viral
as
in no time, as you can imagine. And he was being really offensive about the brand. I'm sure it was Domino's, and the Domino's chief exec did his response through social media as well.
You have to kind of use the channels of when saying when, because that's where your brand management comes in, isn't it?
It can be dangerous though. I mean, massively dangerous.
It can be dangerous, but it's that thing of controlling, isn't it? You kind of like, if it's happening, you've got to react. And it's like knowing how to react to defuse. And then take it out of the public eye and put the positive message back out again.
For example, as I'm having a little fallout with Virgin Media because I cancel with them and they won't let me cancel. It's a nightmare. So I've then used social media as my weapon against them.
I'm happy with Virgin Media at the moment, so I want to give
really
Sky Sports for free.
I'm really happy with Virgin Media. I'm not sure if we can say things like that, to be honest.
But ultimately,
there are obviously other companies who deal with broadband and X, Y, and Z. Just want you to know that.
But you know, brands have to have a social media outlet to manage complaints and manage that kind of public.
Because quite a lot of them do.
I want to talk. I mean, we've got a short while left, but I just want to talk about this thing about brand, because Downtown have been working an awful lot recently with Liverpool Vision, again a fantastic brand that has been recognised massively for the fantastic work it's been doing, and they've just launched a campaign that is available to everybody in the city, and it's not necessarily recognised as a brand, and I don't think they want to see it's Liverpool and I'm Liverpool recognised as a brand. It's more, as somebody cleverly said, a gift tag. It's a nice gift tag that is there for us to use and for us to adopt.
I think
and,
it'll
and utilise.
Maybe, subliminally a brand by itself, but it's good that they're maybe going about it of trying to do it another way. They're not doing a big launch, type thing. They're just trying to introduce it. It's down to the individual and the people of the city, isn't it? Just getting across the message of why they love Liverpool.
It comes back to the Coca-Cola effect, though. Yeah. If you start seeing it all the time, it just comes into your head. You remember it. Because my business is based in the Rope Walks area, and they're kind of striving that to actually kind of communicate about the Rope Walks area, but also embracing the It's Liverpool branding and slogans and messages. To actually kind of saying the actual target, the uniform message, actually Liverpool's a great place. It's a great place to come, it's a great place to work.
I mean, the obvious one, completely, it's a great place.
The obvious one is I Heart NW. I mean, how iconic has that become?
Yeah.
I heart I,
well,
NW.
Talking about
NY. Sorry, NY.
Yeah.
NY.
Yeah. 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 Talking about I heart NY. So, I mean, us as a company, we've done I heart Liverpool, but we've designed something that is copyrighted by us, a design around that is completely different from actually like the I Heart New York, but obviously it's the same premise. Mm. And it's selling in tourist outlets at the moment, you know, and obviously I get a real buzz out of that, you know, producing something and it being sold in our city because I am
pro Liverpool. And you see other people wearing it.
Oh, definitely. It makes me feel really, really good.
It was funny about branding. One of my friends ran the marathon last weekend.
Yeah. We did that branding too, if that's okay to mention.
I can mention. Well, they were running around Sefton Park and it's like, were you in the park? I was like, yeah. It's like, I saw you. It was like, you had your IAW umbrella. And I was like, no, I didn't have an IAW umbrella. No. Somebody else. But he was like, Gav! And I was like, oh, it's not. It's somebody else.
The power of brand, but also the power of the product carrying the brand as well is
an like
important part of the market mix.
You know, if you took away all the merchandise, if you took away all the branding, all the billboards, all the colour, I guess, what are you going to end up with? A very bland existence. So, I figure that the more adventurous you are, the more colourful you are, the more out there you are, then the better profile you're going to get. Yeah. The noisier you are.
The noisier, you're saying, obviously, you're point looking at me there, the noisier you are. Yeah, it's
like, so, I mean, some people will disagree with me, but, like, brand is art, you know, so it's making the world a much more colourful and bright place indeed. Like, you know.
Absolutely. We'll look at, you know, the Peter Blakes of this world, who started off as a brand creation of the Sergeant Pepper's, and he's now sponsoring the John Moores Art Prize as a patron. Yeah. So it is art.
Andy Warhol is another classic. Mm. Like basic screen printing, you know. That...
So people, individuals can be brands.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, look at Brand Beckham.
Who?
Brand Beckham,
yeah.
Footballers are brands, and that's the thing. That's why there's such image rights protection within sports because actually they are a brand who will endorse and earn income from their brand and endorsements. So absolutely, that's a whole nother conversation.
But it just doesn't end though, does it?
No.
I guess the sky's the limit, you know. You're limited by imagination.
Well, you are limited by your imagination and kind of how brave you're going to be. As you're saying, you can go out there and do a brand thing and make a mistake, but keep going.
I'd also say to be consistent with it as well. That's the key.
Yeah.
You know, often...
I think that's the thing with the It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool campaign. Because I know Frank sits on one of the advisory panels and I sit on the marketing advisory group where we look at initiatives, we look at ways in which it can be used. And the one thing that I was kind of adamant at the beginning is that there can be no copyright on this.
Mm.
You know, this is It's Liverpool, I'm Liverpool, and bang, it's got to be out
there.
It's
in the public domain.
It's in the public. People can do whatever they want with. No, up to them if they want to do it in purple or red or blue or green, or up to them completely, you know. And they've gone with that. Vision have gone with that, which is fantastic. Because you and everybody out there can use it.
Can put it on your website.
And the more the merrier.
Yeah.
And hopefully from that, it will become a bit iconic for Liverpool.
Because it's funny, because when it got launched... my football team, Stoke, played Liverpool, and we beat Liverpool. So I started doing I'm Stoke City, It's Stoke City.
And all the
Everton fans that I knew were copying it. They were saying, this is amazing. It's like, boy, it's that kind of thing of adapting something that's in the public domain and twisting it around.
And
it drew attention back to my brand.
Yeah,
it's nice the way that brand can also, it can change and it can be something different to everyone. So it can be something funny to someone else.
Like, what you're playing up there is like kind of, well...
I love statistics, and I've just got to give you like one.
You'll have to be quick.
I'll be quick, you know.
Really quick.
We're a member of the Promotional Merchandise Association, and it says a product that has got a brand on, 79% of people that were in this, the statistics said they were likely to do business in the coming future if you gave them kind of a gift that had a brand with you. So just talking about branding, another way of getting your message out there.
I've just been passed some kind of strange thing here. We're always branding on it.
Well, I'm going to move on slightly here, just slightly, and I obviously say thank you to my three guests. We mentioned It's Liverpool. 14th of November is the launch of Global Entrepreneurship Week. And if you haven't heard yet about the It's Liverpool business conference, which is being organised with by Downtown Liverpool with working with Liverpool Vision and Google and a number of other businesses who've engaged themselves, recognising that this It's Liverpool Business Conference is something very worthwhile being associated with. It's a fantastic lineup of speakers, including Sir Howard Bernstein. We have Joe Anderson, Jed Fitzgerald, Max Steinberg sitting on a panel hosted by the lovely Jim Hancock from the BBC. Not sure whether I'm allowed to say BBC on City Talk 105.9, but I will. Toby Young, the author, journalist and political commentator. Paul Levy, the chief executive officer from Philadelphia Business Improvement District. And it all culminates after a series of very informative and challenging workshops with a frank conversation with Steve Morgan, the owner of Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club. Now, it's on Monday, the 14th of November. As I say, it's the launch of the Global Entrepreneurship Week. If you haven't registered, why not? If you have, well done. Information and registration details are found on www.downtownliverpoolinbusiness.com. It will be a fantastic, informative, challenging, thought-provoking day. Fantastic. I'm glad I got that out in one breath. So once again, I have to say thank you very much to Jane Moore from Agent Marketing, Andrew Dwerryhouse from Wild Thang, and Mr. Gavin Sherritt from It's About Websites and Your Business E-Zine. Cheers, guys.
Downtown Liverpool in business. City Talk 105.9. Listen and log on to great music and great conversation on City Talk 105.9.